7 is called what? It is the chapter of faith. And in verse 6, it says this. Without faith, and by the way, this is not the faith you hear when you hear people on sports teams say, keep the faith. That's not the faith we're talking about. We're talking about specific faith placed in God the Son, Christ, who gave his life for us. It says, without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please him. It's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God, and I want to draw near to God, I think you do too, we must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Some of the versions say, who diligently seek him. And so, again, just rehearsing that, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you, in your personal walk with God, need to walk by faith. You need to put your faith personally in Christ, and then as he calls you to follow him, you do that by faith. If you are called upon to love somebody that's difficult, you do that by faith. If you are called to do something that's difficult or hard or costly, you do that by faith. You trust God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So our church, our steps of faith and our roots. And I just wrote that like that because I just wanted to be very personal. This is our church, and it's our steps of faith. It's me, it's Dennis, it's Roland, it's our steps of faith and our roots. And we're going to talk about roots for a minute. Under that, I wrote the verse Galatians 2:20, which says, actually, I have it up here, but not in my notes. I have been crucified with Christ. So this is your salvation. I have been crucified with Christ. So now it's no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. So you were saved. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made their abode in you. Now Christ is in you, and you no longer live by yourself, but you live because it's Christ in you who is living his life through you. So on this thing of our roots, what I'd like to do, and Jay and Corey and some of the other brothers and I were talking about this earlier, and we as a church have roots. And the tree. And what I wanted to talk about was our foundation. Where did we come from as a church? And I don't know if this will make a lot of sense to you. It's more than I can go through today. Mike, this is where that website would pop up. And I think that's going to be too hard to see. So let's advance to the next slide. And I'm just going to say these words. Looking back, a glimpse of Pioneer's history and roots, how we started in Somerset. And I'd like to go to this page where it lists about 11 things. Okay? Here's what I want to do. I want to tell you a little of the story of Pioneer Bible Church. I want to look back in the Old Testament and see why God was faithful. And I want to set the stage for future steps of Pioneer Bible Church. Where could God be calling us from now forward? Okay? So on this list, you might not be able to see this either. Can you? A little bit? Yeah. If you squint or something. The faithful ones who have by faith paved the way for Pioneer Bible Church. In 1790, it's a long time ago, there was a group of people who started a movement to start Sunday schools throughout the United States. They started in the East. They went from, I think it was from the Philadelphia area to the Mississippi Valley, and their job was to start Sunday schools. Now, there's a lot of history that I'm going to miss here, but I want to tell you these things. If you go back to the slide that we were just on, There you go. So it's called American Missionary Fellowship. By the way, see this sign right here? It's pretty cool. It says, affiliated with the American Sunday Schools Union, Reaching Rural America for Christ. Okay? And this organization came to this area. Milt, you have lots of history with this. And Bill has history with this. Probably Bob has history with this. And American Sunday School Union was this group of people. And then God raised up local people, Harvey and Pat Coles and others, who went around and they gathered little groups of people in homes and they started Sunday schools. And out of those Sunday schools came Pioneer Bible Church, River Pines Bible Church, and eventually Grizzly Flats Community Church, and a whole lot of other churches. All right? So American Missionary Fellowship, our personal history is that the chair you're sitting on right now is sitting on a floor that's above the land that was given to this group of Sunday school kids and families to build a church. And Clyde and Bev Whitmore gave this piece of property so that we could build a church. And Bev just passed away in this last year. But Clyde and I talked many years ago, and they bought the land in the 40s. They bought where I live over on Horseshoe Bend, and they bought this side of the land. They came out of the war, and they wanted to start a ranch. And then this group of people started with a Sunday school, and they were, I can't remember when they became Christians, but their heart was part of it, and they donated this corner on Mount Ockham Road for Pioneer Bible Church to be here. Okay? I just want to tell you, that was a step of faith. Harvey and Pat Coles, it was a step of faith to start the Sunday schools. Clyde and Bev, it was a step of faith to give the land. This was, I think, and I don't remember, I was trying to pull this all up, Milt, but Grace Bible Church was with the Conservative Baptist, originally helped to build this, not this building, but a building here where Pioneer Bible Church sits. And the first building that was built was our fellowship hall. And the fellowship hall was just the hall and no foyer and no rooms back there. You know where the clothes and food are? That was a later expansion on the building, all right? So we had that start. It was called Grace Bible Church. There was a man named Pastor Angelo D'Amigo that came out in the 60s, and he was one of the pastors who started preaching and holding some services. And then the American Sunday Schools Union at that time was gathering and building Sunday schools and gathering kids. And then, again, Pioneer Bible, River Pines, and Grizzly Flat Community later came out of that. Pastor Milt Kammerer, right here, was a pastor here at Pioneer Bible Church in the early 70s. 73. And Milt was preaching here at Pioneer Bible Church, and he was preaching in River Pines, at River Pines Bible Church. I don't know how you did that, but good job. Yes? A good team. Beautiful. Yep. Okay. Yes. And he was working full-time while he was pastoring these two churches. In 1973, Pastor Rob Langford came, and then in 1995, I came, and then we have Pioneer Bible Church today, and I just wrote, the believers and servants of Christ at Pioneer Bible Church today and tomorrow. I just want you to see a series of people stepping by faith, reaching out, investing for the cause of Christ over the last decades here that started Pioneer Bible Church. So let's zip to the next slide. And so these next three slides are the history that I really wish I could tell you more about, because it really is fascinating how faithful people trusted God to do what they do, to do what they did. Let me just read the very small first paragraph. American Missionary Fellowship has its roots in the First Day Society founded in 1790. American Missionary Fellowship, officially formed in 1817 as the Sunday School and Adult School Union. In 1824, the organization changed its name to the American Sunday School Union. There it is. This is our sign, all right? I don't know why it got burned, but at some point it did. Then in 1974, the American Sunday School Union changed its name to American Missionary Fellowship. Since then, another change has happened, and it is now called In Faith. You know why it's called In Faith? Because you take these steps of faith in faith, trusting God that God will do his work. And so that's a little bit of our history. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide, and then I think we're going to zip right past it. Okay, more history. And let's go to the next one. Very good. So I know you can't see this either. Man. Some of our American Missionary Fellowship missionaries, here's what I want you to see. You're not going to know these people personally, but I just want to name some of our American Missionary Fellowship missionaries. I'm going to read them. Harvey and Pat Coles, I've mentioned that name. They started Sunday schools all over, from Railroad Flat, River Pines. You could name probably all of them. Thornton. Again? Thornton. Thornton. Yep, Vallecito. All these little churches and places that Harvey and Pat went. There was a man named Henry Todd that was part of the American Sunday Schools Union, and he was part of Camp Forward. Not only did American Sunday Schools Union start churches and Sunday schools, but they started camps because they wanted to be able to take young people to places where they could interact with Christians' testimony, be challenged to live for Christ. And that is why Camp Forward is where it's at right now. Rob and Cheryl Langford were missionaries with American Sunday School Fellowship. And Steve Kammer was a missionary with American Sunday School, American Missionary Fellowship. A woman named Phyllis Egan, who's from our community. Ed and Kelly Kennedy. James and Mary Russell. Some of you remember James. Mitch and Tammy McAfee now, of course, and TJ and Chris and Morris. Those are just some of the ones that I know personally that we have known through the years. Here's what I want to say. In faith, each of these people stepped out to say, God, here I am, use me. And it is one of the main reasons we're sitting here today and having this time of worship and working together as the people of God to continue these steps of faith. Really, my question today is, what step of faith is next for us? Because the world is in need. The world is in need of salt and light. Why are we here? Why are you here? Let's go to the next slide. So looking back on God's faithfulness through scriptures from Genesis to Acts and beyond. I would love to tell you all these things. In Nehemiah chapter 9, the scribe and prophet Nehemiah rehearses God's faithfulness. So go ahead and go to that next. Yeah, that's the next slide. And there's quite a bit of this. Would you go ahead for me to the next slide? I think it's like the third or fourth one. Go right here. Okay. I've mentioned this before. It's very, very important that as you live for Christ and you take steps of faith, Jesus said, don't forget what I did on the cross. God said in his word, don't forget the things that I have done. The miracles of the Old Testament set the stage for your walk of faith. It is in this passage, let me point out these words in the top line. Talking about the Israelites, it says, they refused to obey and they were not mindful of the wonders that God performed among them, but they stiffened their necks and appointed a leader to return to slavery in Egypt. Can you believe that? All the Israelites were just, they were delivered from the slavery in Egypt. What did they do? They watched, we've rehearsed this, they watched the 10 plagues happen. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Moses came and he said, "Let my people go. And if you won't, we're going to bring flies and frogs and gnats and locusts and the water's going to turn to blood," and so on and so on, right? 10 huge miracles that the people of God, the Israelites, watched from the land of Goshen, and the Egyptians watched from their cities and palaces. The people of God obeyed and followed Moses. The people of Egypt mocked and said, "We're not going to follow your God." Right? That's what happened. The Israelites finally are let go. They come to the end. They come to the edge of the Red Sea. And what does God tell Moses to do? God says, "Moses, I want you to go down to the edge of the water, and I want you to stand there and watch the salvation of the Lord." And God does what? He parts the sea. And over, let me tell you this, you guys, over and over and over, the Bible says God parted the sea with a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left, and the people walked through on dry ground. People just like us. They walked through the water. Once they got to the other side, God fed them with manna and quail, and their clothes didn't wear out. And when they got thirsty, God sent water out of amazing places, out of rocks and out of places where God provided water. And you know what he said to his people? It's the same thing he says to you. Don't forget the wonders that I have done. That's your admonition. Don't forget what God has done. We need to not forget that in 1790, there was a group of people who said had a heart for children to know Jesus. So they started Sunday schools. And Pat and Harvey Coles, they took a step of faith and they knocked on people's doors and said, "Can we use your living room and tell kids about Jesus? And would you invite them?" And there were the acts of God all throughout the Bible and the acts of God all throughout our own personal history. And God says to us, "Don't forget the wonders that I have done." I'm transitioning in my mind because I know I need to wind it up. Forty-5 minutes, huh, Dan? That's what I should get? Okay. Nehemiah, there's a lot of Nehemiah chapter 9 here. And then other passages of Scripture that talk about remembering. Let me say one of them from Deuteronomy chapter 4. And on the slide, I don't know if you can find that, Mike, the Deuteronomy chapter 4, but I just wrote, "Believers, do not forget God's faithful character and deeds." In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Only take care, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children, how the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb." Horeb is the name of a mountain. It has another name. Does anybody know what the other name for Mount Horeb is? Mount Sinai. You remember Moses came to the mount, Mount Sinai. It says, and the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth. That is another admonition that God gives to us. That you as followers of Christ, after all that you've seen in the Bible, and all that you know, in our case, about the history of Pioneer Bible Church and the people and faithful steps that took place, it says that they, us, may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. We need to remember the wonders of God, you guys. If you remember the wonders of God and you believe the wonders of God, you will have confidence to communicate the wonders of God to your children, to a Sunday school class, to your neighbors, to communicate these amazing things of God. I'm just going to tell you this next story, but in Acts chapter 7, there was a man named Stephen. Stephen was a disciple. Stephen was a deacon. Stephen was a man that God had chosen to step out by faith. And Stephen, in Acts chapter 6, has been accused, and he's been accused of being a follower of God, a man who walks by faith. You know what they're going to do to him because he's a man of God who walks by faith? They're going to kill him. They're going to stone him with rocks. And while he is under their authority, while he is under their clutches and being held onto by them, Stephen, He just shares from the bottom of his heart. He preaches, and all the audience and the people that are there are listening to him. You know what he does? He rehearses the wonders of God to all the people. He tells the people the wonders of God. In fact, if you read in Acts chapter 7, he starts from the beginning and he just walks all the way through the story of God, which is this whole book. And in summary, brief form, he rehearses it. And in the middle of it, he says this to them. He talks about a bunch of people. He talks about Moses and Joshua and David and Jacob and Solomon. And then in verse 51, he contrasts the unbelievers from the believers. He says, you stiff-necked people and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. People who forget or disregard the wonders of God are people who are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. They don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Stephen says, before he's stoned, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Do you know how many of the Old Testament prophets were killed? You know how many of the disciples were killed because of their faith? Almost all of them. And these they killed who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one. Who is the righteous one? The Messiah, Christ. It is Jesus. It says, they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, who you received. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. So what I want you to see today is that for Christian people, we walk by faith. It is impossible to please God unless you walk by faith. That means you trust him for your salvation. You trust him for the involvement that you have in ministry. You trust him to give you strength to be a Sunday school teacher. You trust him to say a good word to your neighbor about Christ. You trust him to be a faithful husband or wife that he has called you in your relationship. And so what we have is this call of God that we are people who walk by faith. The Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is filled with examples of people who walk by faith. We look back and see the amazing steps of faith that regular people had, believers in Christ, who were regular people just like us, who brought us to this day, that we can be here at Pioneer Bible Church rehearsing the wonders of God, teaching the truth of Scripture, teaching the truth of the gospel, sharing communion together. I have another timeline here that I'm just going to skip, and I'm going to end up with these little statements. Okay? This is this slide is called Christian Life and Ministry Are Built on Steps of Faith, Mike, right here. Okay, I don't know if you can help me make that bigger too, but I'm just going to read it. Christian life and ministry are built on steps of faith. In the Old Testament, people had to walk by faith. In the New Testament, people had to walk by faith. The people that started this ministry had to walk by faith. And we have to walk by faith. I look at Ruth, and she's back here. Pioneer Bible Church first started. Rob probably asked you, Ruth, would you help with Bible Club? Did he say that? That was like 50 years ago. And Ruth, it was almost 50 years ago, Bible Club. And Ruth, as a faithful follower of Jesus, said, I can help with Bible Club. Some of you might even have gone to Bible Club way back then. We meet people here in Somerset that went to Bible Club. And then about 20 years later, we started Awana. And Awana is here, and we're teaching kids in Awana. And many of you people are here and helping with Awana. Here's what I want to read. Steps of faith are not dependent upon human means or temporal resources. That's not a step of faith. If you're leaning on your own, if you're leaning on human means or temporal resources, that's not a step of faith. Example, steps of faith, Israel at the Red Sea, feeding Israel in the wilderness, Jesus feeding the 5,000, Marcelo, our missionary, in the customs, with the customs agents in Iran or Iraq or Nepal. Stephen Vinton, building schools in Africa. Mercy ships, where people have the vision to have a ship with a hospital so that they can help people on the continent of Africa so they can do surgeries where people can't afford surgeries. That's one of our missionaries, Marcos dos Santos. He's on the mercy ship. One of our young people went on mercy ships for a year, and they go and they do surgeries and they present the gospel. Those are steps of faith. Camp Forward, every year they make a program. T.J. Morris and his team build a program, and they build it with the idea that when the program is set and they're ready and it's prayed over, in the summer kids will come and they'll hear the gospel. So steps of faith are not dependent upon human means or temporal resources. Second paragraph, steps of faith happen as God's people trust in a mighty God to supply according to God's riches and provisions to carry out a mission that shares the gospel unto salvation for eternal purposes and the glory of God. Got that? It's people trusting in God. The last paragraph, steps of faith are the acts of obedience as God leads his people to step out to a call or vision that God has given his people that promotes the gospel, builds his kingdom, furthers God's purposes and plan for his glory depending completely upon God for the direction, provision, and results. So here's what I think God has led us as we've talked about this. We need to continue to be people of faith who marvel at the wonders of God. We need to be people, God says over and over, don't forget what I've done. Don't forget your purpose. Don't forget who you are in me and what I've called you to do. And if you step out by faith, I will provide the resources. I think of Ruth again, times when our staff in Awana is down. You know what she says constantly? The Lord will take care of it. And he does, right, Ruth? I mean, it's like, where are the people? We need the leaders. And God takes care of it. And we look back, if all of us look back, we'll see the provision of God, won't we? We do. So these are steps of faith, are acts of obedience. So what that means is, maybe God says to, I was going to pick on one of you, maybe God says to Jay, he's just sensing there's something on his heart that he needs to do. A person he needs to talk to, or somebody he needs to share Christ with. And you think, well, Lord, you know, how can I do this? I don't feel prepared to do this. And you just feel compelled. Trust me, Jay. Trust me to do what I'm calling you to do. And so you know what the believer does? We trust God. We say, God, I'm willing. I'll do that. I'll step in. I'll do that. I'll help. Is it... We have to be careful because sometimes we want a pat on the back. Oh, I stepped out for God. Aren't I a good little Christian? That's not why we do it. We step out for God because God has a purpose and God has a plan and God has called you, and you get to be part of that ministry, part of that hard-working, diligent team of people that do the ministry of Christ for eternal treasure, not for earthly treasure. God has called us. We are the people of God. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are filled. We are gifted. We are the people of God to do God's work. I think of Brother Bill starting back up in Grizzly with the church building gone. You've got maybe another building that you're going to use. You guys, they need our prayer. They're going to be starting out kind of brand new in Grizzly, after all these losses. And I didn't ask Bill that, but we've talked. I know he and Marilyn are committed to those steps of faith, to go back and build that place where people can hear the gospel again, and they can be a community church there. So God has called us. In Hebrews 11, it is, as Mark said, it is the chapter of faith. And in those verses, it says this. It says, all these people, verse 13, all these people died, because that's what we do. All these people died in faith, not having received the things promised yet, because we're living for an eternal home that God has for us. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them, the promises of God, the future that God has for us, and greeted them from afar. And having acknowledged these people, us, we acknowledge that we are strangers and exiles here on this earth. Right? You understand that? For people who speak thus... That's us. We're the people who talk like this. We're the people of faith. We're the people who see the wonders of God. It says, people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. For if they had been thinking of the land, that's this earth, which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. They'd stay earthly, temporal minded. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I am calling you up and me up again to this walk of faith, this work of ministry, this work of the gospel that God has called us to as his followers. I don't want you to get weary in well-doing, the Bible says, that we would be faithful to follow Christ and to surrender to him and say, God, you call me, I'll go. You call me, I'll do it. I will weigh the difference between temporal treasures and eternal treasures. That's why we wear ourselves out doing ministry. I'll tell you, when I come on Thursdays, Ruth, and I see the Awana team, year after year after year, people sitting with children, doing fun games like Andre does out on the grass and other people have done, it's because we are investing. We are walking by faith, steps of faith, to see God work. You guys have been really patient. I am so excited about God's faithfulness. I am so excited about the faithfulness of people that have brought us to this place right now. And I am excited. I don't know exactly what's coming for Pioneer Bible Church in our future, but I know what we're called to. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And Jesus says, and I will be with you till the end of the age. With you, comforting you, strengthening you, helping you. Let's pray together. And worship team, you can come up. Father, I thank you for this great call that you've given to us. I thank you, Lord, for the character, the faithful character and deeds of God that we can look at, read about, and see in the scriptures. I thank you for the faithful character and deeds of Christians who have gone before us. And I thank you for the faithful character and deeds of people currently serving at Pioneer Bible Church and all the churches. And I pray, Lord, for us in the seasons ahead. We're living in an upside-down world, Lord, where there's sin and immorality and wars and corruption. All the more reason we need to be light in the darkness. Father, I pray that we would hear the words of the Lord and say like Isaiah said, here am I, send me, Lord. Speak to us, urge us, help us follow through. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Let's stand and sing a song of praise and worship. And by the way, if you have never trusted Christ, man, I would love to talk to you about that. You're hearing about all these things and you see what the scriptures say and you need to believe and trust in Jesus as your Savior. You need him. If you want to go to heaven, you need Christ as your Savior. So talk to me about that. Let's sing.
I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I'd like to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, done in my life. You took my darkness and gave me light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a hunger of praise, with an outstretched arm, I bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Grateful heart and a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Pastor Jim has asked me to close in prayer. We have a young man here today. He was here when we started the church in 1973. Ivan Milkey. He's here in our family. I was here in his family. His family was here. And they were very faithful and serving the Lord. And Ivan, the same age as our youngest son, Charlie. Pastor Jim's asked me to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the past year at Pioneer Bible Church. The faithful people that have served you faithfully, all these years. Many of those, almost all of them, are home with you in glory. And their faithfulness. Lord, Pastor Jim has challenged us today. We continue to be faithful to you till you call us home by death. We never know when that time's going to be. We want to be faithful, each one of us. And we want to go forth in faith. And we just thank you again for the team you've led here to Pioneer Bible Church. Pastor Jim and his family and the elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers, one of leaders, and continue to use each one of us to, for your honor and glory. We might be faithful till you call us home by death. Thank you again for the ministry of Pioneer Bible Church. We want to go ahead, Lord. There's so many challenges. So many people need to know the Lord and build up in you. We think of those who don't come to church anymore. We're concerned about them. And Lord, continue to pray for them. Dismiss us now with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, brother.
Yeah? Yes? No, go ahead. Thing in? So you can plug in?
No, not yet.
I like your cable.
Eventually I am, yes.
Is that a shark? Cool.
My name is
Can you install that at